Good evening. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a warm word of welcome in the Savior's name to our evening gospel service here in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. It's a joy to see each and every one of you. Trust the Lord will bless you as you've gathered into the house of God tonight. If you're visiting with us, I want to give you a very special word of welcome in the Savior's name. And for those watching online, I know Hebron is a very wide online audience. I want to bid you welcome to the broadcast this evening. We're going to sing together. We're going to get the right slideshow first of all, and then we're going to sing together. We're going to sing the hymn 265, 265, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We'll stand after the introduction as we sing hymn 265 together. Let's stand and sing.
Our Father, Lord,
was the note. It's a fond memory I have of being in Hebron singing without the music. The musicians are great and they're wonderful, but sometimes it's lovely to sing without the music a cappella. He took my sins and my sorrows. What a gospel truth. And he made them his very own. We'll stay standing, we'll get the note, and we'll sing this verse and the chorus. Let's seek the Lord's face together in the attitude of prayer. Let's come before the Lord, God of heaven, tonight. Let's bow our heads. Our loving God and our eternal heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can sing tonight of the wonderful, wonderful love of Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for the love of God that's greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. And Lord, we thank Thee that so wonderful and so great and so mighty is the love of God that You sent Your only begotten Son into this world. Lord, we've sang of the substitution of Christ. He took our sins and our sorrows. We've sang of the sacrifice of Christ. We've sang of the sweetness of Christ. And Lord, tonight we pray, as we would stand to preach the gospel once again, that Heavenly Father, some sinner, some wayward soul here tonight would be bowled over and amazed at the great love which Christ has for them. And they would sing, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Lord, we thank Thee for the day and the hour, those here that are saved, when you awakened us out of the deadness of sin. And You showed us the loveliness of Christ, and You brought us savingly to that old rugged cross. And Lord, we pray tonight that what You've done for so many here in the Lord's house tonight, Lord, You would do for others. Heavenly Father, we think of what was said at the cross of Jesus Christ. He saved others. Praise God for that. For if He saved others, He can save you. And Lord, we pray tonight that You would save others in our meeting here tonight. Oh Lord, we think of how Christ said to His disciples, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. And Lord, we know that there are a people in the world whom Thou art willing to save. Oh Lord, we pray tonight, as the gospel would sound forth, as we would hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Heavenly Father, You would speak to each and every heart. To the believer, Lord, we pray that You would cause us to rejoice in all that Thou hast done for us. For those outside of Christ, we pray that Thou wouldst draw them to Thyself and plunge them under the crimson flood from Christ's own veins. Lord, we remember tonight our brother Johnny Story as he preaches in Dromore. We remember Gregory Gibson as he preaches there in Auchnacloy. And Lord, we remember David McCauley too, wherever he might be preaching tonight. Lord, we remember all those connected to our church here. And Lord, we pray especially for ourselves that, Lord, You would come down and that You would visit us. Bless the Reverend Park tonight. Bless the rest of the team as they minister the gospel, that, Lord, You would give them many souls for their hire. So, Lord, be with us, we pray. Draw near and do us good tonight, we ask. And in everything, in absolutely everything, let Christ receive all of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the praise due to Thy precious name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've sang already of the love of God, and we're going to sing of His love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise Him again in that day. The chorus says, I believe Jesus saves. Amen. And we're going to stand after the introduction as we sing the hymn 204, I Believe Jesus Saves. Clerk of Session, my dad, to come and to bring the announcements for the incoming week. Thank you.
Well, can we bid you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our gospel service this evening here in Hebron. For all those who are tuned in on sermon audio, a special word of welcome to you. We do have two visitors from England. They're sisters of our brother Peter Moy, sisters from England, Valerie, and also Pauline. And we bid you welcome in the Lord's great name and trust that the Lord will bless you as you gather with us this evening in the Gospel. Refreshments will be served after this evening's service in the fellowship area, and so we would encourage as many as possible to stay with us for a time of fellowship. I suppose I best introduce and welcome the speaker as well. The speaker this evening is no stranger to us. He's less of a stranger to me than he is to you. It's our brother Joshua Moffat, minister of our Bangor congregation. And so we trust that the Lord will bless him this evening. We're encouraged and we're blessed by his ministry this morning, and we pray that the Lord's anointing might be upon him again this evening. Thursday is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It will be conducted by one of the students of our Bible college and one of the members of the fellowship here, Mr. David McCauley. He will be preaching the second part of his message. And again, we would encourage as many as possible to join with us on Thursday evening for a special time of prayer for missionary work and for revival. Next Lord's Day, we commence with the early morning season of prayer at 8 a.m. The morning worship is at 12 noon, and the preacher on that occasion will be our dear friend and brother, Mr. Jonathan Story. Please pray for Jonathan as he comes along next week to break onto us the bread of life. Jonathan will join us also in the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. It will be preceded, of course, by a time of prayer at 6:30. Please remember the family and friends evening. It's due to take place on the 6th of August at 7 p.m. We will hear the testimony of our dear friend and brother Paul Elliott. He has a story to tell to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus in his life. There are cards available, and please get as many of these cards out to family and friend members, and so that we can get them in under the sound of the gospel. Please also remember Youth Challenge this year. 150 children have signed up for Youth Challenge, and the evangelists are going to be the Reverend Joshua Moffat and also our dear friend and brother Greg Gibson, who are going to minister the word to the young people and to the children on that occasion. Please bathe these meetings in prayer, and we look to the Lord for him to move in a mighty way, his wonders to perform. We do thank you for your tithes and gifts and offerings. Today, the Home Mission outreach envelopes will be received in also. These are all the announcements, and we trust that they will be blessed of the Lord, and they're all subject to the will and plan and purpose of our God.
I want to thank Dad for bringing those announcements to our attention. We're going to sing another hymn before we come to the preaching of God's Word. It's our offering hymn. It's the hymn, "Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean. Loving kindness is the flood, when the Prince of Life, my ransom, shed for me his precious blood." And we'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together as the offerings for the Lord's work are lifted.
Yeah.
seats. We're turning tonight in the Word of God to the book of John, John chapter 3, and the verses 1 through to verse 17. A familiar passage of the Word of God, a passage no doubt many of you have memorized, if not all of it, certainly some verses of it, John chapter 3. I remember hearing of a sermon, a preacher, he just preached a sermon, and he was standing at the door, and one of the old ladies came up to him at the door, and she says, "Pastor, that was a marvelous sermon. It reminded me of the peace and love of God." He says, "Why did my sermon remind you of the peace and love of God?" She says, "It reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding." And she says, "It reminded me of the love of God because you seem to go on forever." Well, I want to preach today on the subject of the love of God. And of course, we're coming to verse 16 as our text tonight. But we want to read John chapter 3, this familiar portion of God's precious word. John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 17. We know that God's word is infallible, it's inerrant, it's inspired, and we know that God blesses the public reading of his precious word to our hearts. I want to preach on the subject tonight, no greater love. I wonder where I got the title. I wonder where I came up with those three words. I remember the cantata number of years ago. No greater love. I want to preach tonight on John chapter 3 and the verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's bow for prayer. Let's ask God to bless us in the preaching of his precious word. Heavenly Father, as we come to the word of God, we're keenly aware that this is the most solemn and serious part of our service today. Lord, we love to sing the hymns. We love to pray together. We love to read the word. And Lord, as we come now to the proclamation and exposition of thy precious word, Lord, we pray, draw near. Lord, we can have our points, we can have our sermon, we can have our illustrations, we can have everything in its right and its proper place. But Lord, any sermon, any message will be powerless if there's not the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, we pray now, come upon us. Lord, descend on this congregation. Lord, we pray you'd pour out thy Spirit in Ballymoney tonight. Lord, give help to this preacher. Touch my lips with that live coal from off the altar. And Heavenly Father, as we preach tonight, let none be seen save Jesus and Jesus only. Be with us tonight, Lord, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Many of you will know the world-famous evangelist D.L. Moody. Well, D.L. Moody in 1867 was having a gospel campaign that took him right through our own island of Ireland. And he was preaching the gospel near and far across our country. And along his travels, he met a young English, really he was just a boy, a young English boy called Henry Moorhouse. Now, Henry Moorhouse had been saved. He'd been saved from great addiction. He'd been saved from gambling. He'd been saved from alcoholism. And he began to preach, to speak to Moody. And he fancied himself a little preacher. And Moody passed the comment. Well, sure, if you're ever in Chicago, let me know, and I'll let you preach for me. Of course, this young man was from England. He'd met him in Ireland. Moody perhaps never thought that Henry Moorhouse would ever grace America, not less Chicago, with his presence. And so he gave the offer, if you're ever in Chicago, let me know when you can preach. And he went on his merry way. A couple of weeks later, D.L. Moody received a telegram. It was from Henry Moorhouse. It said, I've just arrived in New York City, and I'm looking forward to preaching in Chicago this Sunday. Moody was stricken. He thought, well, I don't really know this young man. I don't know what he's going to preach. I don't know what he's going to say. And so he got in touch with his elders back there in the church, and he told them, give him one night, one Sunday night, and if he's decent, if he's good, if he's sound, you put him on the next night. And again, if he's good and the people enjoy him, put him on the next night as well. And D.L. Moody continued his campaign for a number of weeks. Eventually, he got back home to his native Chicago, and he was chatting to his wife when the name of Henry Moorhouse came into his mind, and he asked his wife, tell me this, how did Henry Moorhouse get on? His wife told him something that no preacher ever wants to hear coming out of their wife's lips. She says, he's a better preacher than you. He's a far better preacher than you. D.L. Moody thought, well, why? How is he a better preacher than me? She says, well, Henry Moorhouse has been preaching for a number of weeks now. And every single night he has taken for his text, John chapter 3 and verse 16. She said, he's a better preacher than you, Dwight, because he tells people God loves sinners. D.L. Moody thought, I have to go and listen to Henry Moorhouse. And so he slipped into the meeting one night. Up to this point in his ministry, D.L. Moody had been pretty cold and austere and stoic in his preaching. And yet as he heard Moorhouse, and as Moorhouse stood up and announced his text, once again, John chapter 3 and the verse 16, D.L. Moody wrote this, this heart of mine began to thaw out. I could not keep back the tears. I just drank it in, and so did the congregation. He said, I tell you, there is one thing that draws above everything else in the world, and that is the love of God. The love of God. Henry Moorhouse, by the way, is referred to as the man who moved the man who moved the world. And my friend, tonight, I want to take Henry Moorhouse's text. I don't think I'll do it the justice that Henry Moorhouse did. But I want to take his text tonight, what has been called the greatest text in all the Bible. I would agree with that, by the way. The greatest text in all the Bible, because it tells of the greatest person, it tells the greatest story, and it delivers to us the news of the greatest salvation. In fact, I would suggest tonight, if you and I could ascend up into heaven, and we could go up to the throne of grace, and we could grab Gabriel and bring Gabriel down to Hebron Free Presbyterian Church and stand Gabriel behind this pulpit, and we were to say to Gabriel, Gabriel, tell us of the love of God, speak of Christ's love in the most heavenly, beautiful language of all. I fully believe that angel would say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My friend, John 3:16, it is the greatest text in all the Bible. And tonight I want to think tonight of the greatest love of all, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. I say this is the greatest text in all the Bible because it speaks firstly of the greatest person. It speaks of the greatest person. Look with me at John 3:16. Notice how it begins. For God. For God. You know, I was reading this week of an old cookbook, and it had a recipe for a rabbit stew. I don't know how many of you like to cook rabbit stew, but it had a recipe for rabbit stew, and it had a number of steps. And it said, you know, step two, stew the onion. Step three, do this or that. Step number one, catch a rabbit. Catch a rabbit. That was a cook who knew how to put first things first. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, as he brings the gospel to Nicodemus, he puts first things first. For how he begins in verse 16 is this. God. He introduces Nicodemus to the greatest person ever. Do you know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing the greatest gospel text of all, it's very important to realize he doesn't start with you. He doesn't start with man. He doesn't start with our dreams and desires. He doesn't begin with our fears and with our feelings. He doesn't start with our situations or our circumstance. He starts with God. Because, my friend, that's where the gospel begins. The gospel begins, and indeed it ends, with God. Do you know the Bible tells us there is a God in heaven? That is an objective reality. Maybe you're here tonight and you're agnostic or you're atheist or you've never trusted in the Lord. Let me tell you tonight, God is real. There is a real personal God. Do you know the scientists of this world have looked out into the farthest reaches of space, out into the known universe, and they have said we have searched millions of light years and we cannot see any God. Do you know what that tells me? They're looking with the wrong equipment. You see, my friend, you don't find God with a telescope. You find him with a trusting heart. You don't need scientific fixtures to see God. You need merely a sincere faith. And the Word of God tells us there is a God in heaven, a just God and a holy God, and a righteous God, a creating God, a controlling God, a sovereign God who reigns over all things. Tonight, there's a God in heaven. Do you know some people have their opinion, don't they, on what they think God is like? And really, it's two sides of a very extreme coin. Some people think that God is this stern, austere, unapproachable creator king. And the others think that God is just like a heavenly grandfather who just wants everyone to be bubbly and happy. Well, my friend, what does the Bible say about God? Well, the Bible says that God is a great God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Bible tells us he's a God of glory. And the pages of Scripture tell us exactly what God is like. We read that he's a righteous God. He has a law. He has a standard. We read that he is a judging God. He's the judge of all the earth. He's a God of justice. He rewards the good, and he visits the guilty with ruin. The Bible tells us he's holy, and he expects sinless perfection. It tells us that he's vengeful and will visit the sins of men with wrath forevermore. You know, if that's all I learned about the character and nature of God, the idea of a personal, real God would terrify me. If all I knew of God was that he was holy, was that he was righteous, was that he was just, that would terrify me because, my friend, I am a sinner. As are you tonight, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in our sin, all of those attributes of God are against us. And yet, the whole character of God pivots on one attribute, and that is love. Yes, my friend, he's a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. But praise God tonight, he's a God of love. Many think that God is a God of loathing. My friend, he's the God of great love. He's the God who, yes, hates sin. Hates the sins of man. But make no mistake, he loves the souls of man. He loves the souls of man so much that he gave his only begotten son. Do you know why I've met people in life and they're enamored with some celebrity? Maybe it's a footballer. Maybe it's a singer, an actor, a race car driver. They're obsessed with them. They could tell you their birthday. They could tell you their favorite meal. They could tell you where they grew up and what school they attended. They know so much about them. But they don't know them. Not personally. Not really. My friend, tonight, there is a God in heaven. Jesus began this great gospel text by saying, there is a God, for God so loved the world. I ask tonight, do you know this God? Not knowing him intellectually, but knowing him intimately. Do you know there's many people and they're going to miss heaven by 18 inches? That's the distance from your head to your heart. Many people miss the gates of heaven by 18 inches because they knew of God, they knew of salvation, they knew of his mercy, and yet they never knew him personally. Some of you might know the name of Richard Burton. He was a famous actor, came from Wales. Richard Burton was visiting his native homeland one day and he was holding audience, holding court. He was giving speech after speech, soliloquy after soliloquy. And after he would finish his speech, there'd be a great round of applause at the diction and the skill and the charisma of this great orator. He asked the crowd that day, is there anything you want to hear? And his old pastor, from when he was in Sunday school, put his hand up. He said, I'd love to hear Psalm 23. I'd love to hear Psalm 23. And so Richard Burton says, look, I'll say Psalm 23, but only if you say it after me. The pastor agreed, I'll say it after you. And so Richard Burton stood up, and with great variation in his tone and in his pitch, with great emotion in his voice, with great skill and charm, he began to quote Psalm 23. You know, there was much applause afterwards at the oratory with which he had spoken it. And then it came time for the old pastor. And he hobbled up to the podium. There was no real skill in his voice. There was no real charisma in the way that he spoke. But my friend, what was palpable was the great love that he had for Christ. And whenever he finished quoting Psalm 23, such was the sincerity of this man. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. And it was Richard Burton who said, Pastor, I might know the psalm, but you know the shepherd. You know the shepherd. My friend, tonight you might know this text. You might know, for God so loved the world. But tell me, do you know the God of John 3:16? Is he your Savior tonight? Have you trusted him with your soul and with salvation? It's the greatest gospel text of all, for it tells us of the greatest person, God. And then it tells us of the greatest passion. The greatest passion, because it goes on to say that God loved, no, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you know, I love technology. I love gadgets. I love that sort of thing in the home. I remember way back when we lived in Liverpool, my dad bringing home the first phone, and it was like a cinder block, and it was massive. I used to think it was a major leap in technological advancement when you could play Snake on those old Nokias. I thought that was tremendous. We'd never advance farther than that. And yet technology's come on, leaps and bounds. And as it's come on, phones have got smaller, devices have got weirder. Now we've microchips, micro USBs. In fact, if you're wearing a smartwatch today, you have more technology on your wrist than was on the first space shuttle. Great advances come in these small little packages. Do you know Spurgeon once said this? He said, in these days of advanced mechanism, great marvels in miniature have been achieved. But never has so much meaning been compressed into so small a space as that little word, so. You see, friend, God does not love a world of sinners. He so loves a world of sinners because God's love is the greatest love of all. In fact, Jesus could say, greater love hath no man than this. It's a love that's unending. It's a love that's unyielding. It's a love that's unrelenting. It's a love that's unstoppable. It's a love that's unquenchable. It's a love that's undeserving. It's a love that's unspotted with sin. My friend, Jesus' love is the love of the ages. It's the love of the ages. And God's love is so great that Jesus Christ came for sinful man. Love drew him all the way from heaven. We often sing that hymn here. I know it's loved in this congregation. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. My friend, God doesn't just love you today. He so loves you that he entered into time, that he took onto himself a true humanity, and that he laid down his life for us. What a Savior that he loves sinners. What a Savior. My friend, tonight, the loving eye of Christ looked down upon mankind. And so great was his love, so wonderful was his love, that he paid the highest price of all in his own body and blood when he died to set us free. God, the greatest person, so loved, the greatest passion. And then I say next, the greatest proclamation. Because we read that God so loved the world. He so loved the world. There's no limit to the love of God. We often sing that hymn. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. And praise God, the love of God goes beyond the highest star. And it reaches to the lowest hell. My friend, God's love is for the worst of sinner. God's love is for the world of sinner. Years ago, there was a missionary. His name was John Williams. John Williams used to sail around the South Pacific. And whenever his ship would land in some port or on some coastline or along some beach, he would jump out and he would stand on the sands of that coast. And he would take this text for his very first sermon. Because he knew that no matter where he went on this earth, John 3:16 was still the same. God so loved the world. I can tell you tonight, folks, God loves sinners in Bangladesh. God loves sinners in Belgium. God loves sinners in Beirut. And God loves sinners in Ballymoney. God loves sinners in Ballymoney even this very night because he so loves the world. Isn't that so unlike your love and my love? We pick and choose who we love. But God loves universally. God loves unconditionally. In fact, the hymn writer could say this, wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. Jesus loves me. My friend, what a truth. That Jesus would love this world of sinners. You and I love those who are desirable. You and I love those who are deserving. You and I love those who are delightful. But Jesus loves the disgraced. He loves the downtrodden. He loves the depraved. My friend, he loves the down and out. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, God can never love me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. My friend, I read John 3:16 and I find you're in that. Because God loves a world of sinners. Sinners of every type. Sinners of every transgression. Sinners of every tribe. And he's willing by that love to save us and to wash us in the precious blood of Jesus. Praise God, he loves the whosoever. Tonight, my friend, listen. You don't have to be commendable to God. And you're not. You don't have to be wonderful to God, and you're not. You don't have to be beautiful to God. My friend, really, you merely have to be available to God and say, here's my heart. Take and seal it. My friend, I wonder tonight, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? For he so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God, he loves a world of sinners. In fact, Augustine, that early church father, could say, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. He loves each of us as if there were only one of us. And tonight, I don't know your background. I don't know your history. I don't even know your upbringing. But I know that Jesus loves a world of sinners. And I know that he has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My friend, come to the one who loves you tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I read of the greatest person, God. I read of the greatest passion, so loved. I read of the greatest proclamation, the world. And now I want to think about the greatest price. Greatest price, for he so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. Do you know, in Martin Luther's day, the printing press was only just starting to pick up traction, and literature was being able to be mass-produced. But in Luther's day, there was a little girl living in Germany who feared God. She had heard sermons about his justice and about his majesty, and she feared ever having to meet this high and holy God. Do you know, one afternoon, that little girl who feared God came bounding in through the door, and she had a smile from ear to ear. She was beaming. She was overjoyed, and she was holding in her hand a little scrap of worn and torn paper, crumpled. In fact, it was so damaged, you could barely read what was on it. And her mother looked at her joy and said, why are you so happy? And she took this little scrap of paper, and all she could decipher were the words, God so loved that he gave. And the rest was blurry, and you couldn't make out the rest. And the mother said, well, why are you so happy? This doesn't even tell you what God gave. It doesn't tell you what he gave to mankind. That little girl said, if God loves me so much that he would give me anything, that's enough for me. If God loves me so much he would give me anything, that's enough. Well, my friend, listen, God didn't just give you anything. He gave everything when he gave his only begotten Son for you and for me. The greatest declaration of the love of God is seen in the dispatch of God's love, that he sent Christ. He sent his Son into the world to suffer, to bleed, and to die, that he might bear away our sin, a purchase for you and me so great salvation. I can't imagine. Can't begin to imagine the cost that must have been to the Father. The high price it was to send his Son to Calvary. I'll tell you a story from our family. A little while ago, Michael was celebrating his birthday. And we had a few of the family round, and they were exchanging presents. And one of his uncles, one of those Ropey Park boys, decided it would be a great idea to buy Micah Nerf guns. If you know what a Nerf gun is today, it's a little plastic gun with a foam bullet and a rubber head on it. And the kids were excited. Daddy was more excited to get the Nerf guns out. And as soon as they unpacked these Nerf guns, Leah and I told them, now listen, rule number one, you can't shoot each other. You can't shoot each other. There's little targets. You have to shoot the targets. That lasted about 30 seconds. Lasted about 30 seconds before our man's back in Bangor turned into the OK Corral. And everyone was shooting everyone. And John Wayne and Clint Eastwood were shooting each other from across the room. They were ducking and diving behind the sofa and behind the table trying to shoot each other. Of course, Daddy joined in. And I loaded up the pistol and I raised it and shot. And it went right into Rose's eye. Right into Rose's eye. And of course, there were tears. It was a perfect shot, by the way, and completely accidental. But it hit Rose right in the eye. And she began to cry. And, you know, saying my little girl hurt because of something I had done broke my heart. It absolutely broke my heart. Seeing her hurt and crying and broken because of something that I had brought to pass was nearly too much to bear. It crushed me. Knowing that she had to go through that pain and I had brought it about. You know, as I thought about it, friend, I thought about the immeasurable price that God paid when he sent his Son, not to a world of happiness, not to a world of contentment, not to a world that was going to love him and shower him with praise, but to a people that would hate him, to a people that would nail him to a tree. I'll never get over What it must have cost the Father to send His Son. How much He loved you. How much He loved me that He would give His Son. Let me read those words in Isaiah 53:10. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. So great is God's love for sinners. The hymn writer said, when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. My friend, what a God. What a love that He would pay such a high price to save you and to save me. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark the night which our Lord passed through, ere He found that sheep that was lost. It cost God His Son. It cost the Son the fellowship of the Father. It cost the Son the pangs, the pains, and the punishment of your sin and mine. It cost God everything to save sinful man. And today, having finished that work at Calvary, He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God tonight. Jesus paid it all. My friend, He invites you to simply come, to trust in Him and to be wonderfully and powerfully saved tonight. I wonder, will you come? It's the greatest person, God. The greatest passion, He so loved. We see the greatest proclamation that He loved the world. The greatest price that He gave His only begotten Son. And lastly, I want you to see the greatest promise, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Mr. Kambarami was the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe. And it was his goal to try and give a New Testament to everybody he saw. Do you know, one day he met a very belligerent man on the side of the road, and he gave him a New Testament. And this man, he was very angry, and he said, you know, if you give me a New Testament, I'm going to rip out each page and I'm going to smoke every page in that New Testament. Mr. Kambarari was a wise man. He was ready for him. He said, that's okay. Smoke the Bible. He says, but before you smoke a page, I want you to read the page. I want you to read every word that's on that page before you roll it up into a cigarette and before you smoke it. And they went on their separate ways. 15 years later, the two men met at a church convention in Zimbabwe. And this scripture-smoking man had found Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he was now a full-time evangelist in the work of God. And he got talking to Mr. Kambarari, and he says, you know, I walked away that day, and I started smoking Matthew 1, and I smoked Matthew 2, and I smoked Matthew 3, and I got all the way through the book of Matthew, and then I began to smoke Mark, and then I smoked Luke, and I smoked John 1, and I smoked John 2. He says, but when I got to John 3, on the verse 16, I could smoke no more. My life changed from that very moment, and I trusted in Jesus Christ. You see, friends, Christ's offer of mercy is not just for the wholesome, it's for the whosoever. It's for the whosoever. God saves whosoever from the whatsoever. The only thing is, He doesn't save whensoever. He doesn't save whensoever we like. My friend, He has promised He will save whosoever from whatsoever, but He'll save if you come today and trust in Him for salvation. And here's the greatest promise in all the Word of God. If you believe in Christ, if you turn from sin and trust in the Savior, you shall be saved. I wonder, will you put this promise to practice tonight? Will you come to Jesus Christ to be saved? Richard Baxter, a great Puritan, he had a sermon on this text, and he used to say, you know, I used to think if it said, God so loved the world, or God so loved, rather, Richard Baxter, that He gave His only begotten Son. He said, I would have loved my name to have been in there. But then he said, you know, if I'd have seen a Richard Baxter in John 3:16, I'd have thought it meant the Richard Baxter up the road, or the Richard Baxter in the next county, or the Richard Baxter over in America. He says, but it says, whosoever. Whosoever, my friend, whosoever. It means everybody. In fact, we teach the boys and girls a chorus. That whosoever surely means me. My friend, Jesus will save you. Jesus will wash you. Jesus will keep you. Jesus will give you life with a capital L if you call out for the mercy and grace of God tonight. Here's the promise. Look unto me and be ye saved. He's promised he'll save you tonight if you come as a sinner to Jesus. Some of you will know Pastor Ivan Thompson. You'll have heard of Pastor Ivan Thompson. He was active in the work of God not all that long ago in the history of Northern Ireland. Well, Ivan Thompson used to be a drunk, and he used to be a ferocious gambler. In fact, he used to speak about after work, he would get his pay packet, and instead of going home to his wife and using that money wisely on home improvements or things they needed for the house, he used to go down to the Greyhound track. And he used to place bets and wagers and try and double his money. You know, one day he spoke about how he went down to the Greyhound tracks and he saw a dog that he thought looked pretty good, looked pretty strong, looked thin and lean. And he put all of his money, his entire pay packet, on this Greyhound, every penny that he'd earned. The dog lost. And he lost everything. He just worked for free. And as he turned to go, depressed and despondent, he noticed that the heavens had opened and the rain was beating down off the ground, and he was just in his shirt. He had no coat, he had no hat, he had no umbrella. And like the sorry loser, he began to make his way home through the soaking rain. And as he walked down the side of the road, his thumb was out trying to get a lift of cars passing them by. And he says he saw the headlights and they just sailed on by. Do you know, we saw the lights of a taxi and the little sign above it to say it was a taxi coming towards him. And he put his thumb out thinking the taxi would stop. And you know, as he looked inside, he records that when he looked inside that cab, who was inside but the very Greyhounds that he had just been betting on. You see, he had been made a fool of. The Greyhounds were in the taxi and he was stuck outside in the rain. Well, Ivan Thompson was saved not long after. And of course, he became an evangelist, and he was used mightily of God here in Northern Ireland. Do you know, one day, Ivan Thompson speaks about a knock that came on his door, and it was two Jehovah's Witnesses. And he opened the door, and he says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" And they said, "Well, we want to tell you about some good news. We want to tell you about Jesus. We want to tell you what you can have today." And you know, Ivan Thompson, he says, "Look, lads, I've had a long day. But if you can give me something better than what I already have, I follow you today and I'll become one of you." They said, "Well, what do you have?" His response was this: "I've sins forgiven. I've a home in heaven. I've a life worth living. I've sins forgiven. I've a home in heaven. I've life worth living. Can you give me better than that?" He says, "Absolutely not, we can't." And they went on their merry way. Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, life worth living. My friend, do you have that tonight? Do you know the God of John chapter 3 and the verse 16? "For in all the world, there's nothing as wonderful as the love God has for you." My friend, listen, you've ran the course of sin for so long. You've tasted of the world. You've engaged in sin. My friend, it's time to come home tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, life worth living. The greatest text in all the Bible. My friend, listen. Do you know Christ? Can you say tonight, "I love him because he first loved me"? Make tonight, the 23rd of July, the night that you call on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and you say, "Lord, I thank you for the great love you have for me. Your love has broken my heart. Save me. Wash me in Jesus' precious blood. For him that cometh to Christ, he will in no wise cast out." Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to our hearts even tonight. Want to come to our last hymn tonight? It is the hymn, "Calvary Covers It All." What a wonderful clause that is. Calvary covers it all. as I've said, he saves whosoever from whatsoever. Far dearer than all than the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. We'll stand as we sing this closing hymn. Let's stand to sing. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the wonderful, wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray tonight that someone here, maybe they're backslidden, maybe they're far from thee, maybe agnostic or not even saved, that Lord, they'll leave this place saying, when no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the love that drew salvation's plan. We thank thee for the grace that brought it down to man. We rejoice at the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Lord, we thank thee that we can say of a truth tonight, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Lord, as the voice of this preacher falls silent, we pray you'd speak on in hearts. Lord, maybe there's some believer here tonight, downcast and despondent. Lord, we pray you'd encourage them as they consider how much thou dost love them. Lord, if there's one outside of thee, we pray tonight, they would realize the love and the open arms of Christ, and they'd come running to the Savior, willing, able, and ready to save. Lord, part us with thy fear and with thy blessing. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.